We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Hey, yo, and here we go. It is We Talk Comics, episode 132. This is We Talk Comics 8-page preview. I am your host, Keith, and I am joined by my co-host, Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Hi. We got some good comic book talk this week. This is going to be awesome. I've been dying for this. Just dying.
It feels like a long time since we did an episode. It's been a few weeks. We've had all the panels. If you haven't been checking out our shows of late, we've been putting up panels that we recorded at Calgary Expo. All but one of them are up on our website now, as well as on their Comicosity is almost caught up to us now that I've actually posted all of them on it. And speaking of Comicosity, we are joined by Matt. Say hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We've been talking for probably since the day they were announced about doing this episode, Matt.
Oh yeah, I mean you couldn't talk about 44 previews that DC gave away without swinging me in.
We were hoping to be joined by Jessica, the mom who reads comics. She had to cancel at the last minute. Check out her various podcasts, including the Hangout, to find out what she thought of some of these. But we will soldier on and talk about the DC for the month of May. DC put 8-page previews in the preview short stories, original short stories. They weren't preview pages. They were original short stories. They put
prologues.
Them in prologues. Yeah, that's a good way to put them. Some of them are midquels. A couple of them actually fit in the middle of a number one, which is kind of neat. I was reading an issue today where I'm like, oh, the 8-pager actually fits right here. I wonder if, you know, they will go that far when they do the trade to actually shove it in the middle of the story. Be bold. So they put these in the back of the Convergence Month 2 issues as a free bonus. They also were nice enough to put them on Comicsology, the DC website, and a couple other places. So this is 44 8-page stories, all free. I can't do the math. It's almost 400 pages.
Just shy. 352.
352, really? Yeah. It almost had to be, but it still seems. Before we get into looking at some of these previews, the question on everyone's lips. We'll do a short news segment. News always sponsored by Comicosity.com. And the topic of discussion is, what do you think happened in Convergence number 8? So we're going to start with Chris. Now, Chris has not read Convergence number 8, so he has the man on the street overheard version of what happened in Convergence number 8. Give it a shot.
Yes, and unfortunately, I wasn't listening, so there's a whole lot of white noise. So judging strictly by the previews, I'm thinking whatever happened in the zero issue, which doesn't exist in number 52, happened, where all of a sudden we just skipped a year. That's the only thing I can think of. I am a blank slate. I have no idea. I'm very confused by the DC universe right now. All my core books have stopped, and very much newer and artistically better books have started. I'm excited about the DC Universe, but I have no idea what the hell is going on. So, man, some big shit must have happened, man. What happened? Tell me. Fill me in. Help me. I'm lost.
Well, actually, nothing that happened in Convergence number 8 has any bearing on this month's comics. So, yeah, I mean, it's... So here's my take, and this people will have disagreed with this. My take is that all of the cities on the Convergence world, except for one, were then, at the end of Convergence number 8, were morphed into the 52 worlds of the Multiversity that were detailed out in the Multiversity guide to the multiverse or whatever it was. It came out a few months ago. So the Zero Hour world morphed into Earth 16, which was the subject of Multiversity the Just. The pre-Flashpoint one became Earth Zero of the what was the New 52 and is now is just the DCU. And that all of those worlds, you know, could be revisited, I suppose, in the past, but new stories would be coming from the multiverse, as we were explained it in Multiversity. Except for one.
All right.
I guess I'm going to have to finish that little series.
And nah, just read the last issue.
And I don't quite agree with Matt.
Fair.
So, now there's a couple of important things that get that got missed because you have to be you have to be as ridiculously fidgety about DC continuity as I am to have noticed that Convergence didn't take place at the now. It took place last summer because the end of Doomed, which came out the tail end of last summer, was to be continued into the Convergence number 0. And all of Convergence happens in a couple of days period, basically. It happens in a very short period. So lots of DC stories happened after Convergence. So Convergence number 8 doesn't go into June of 2015. Convergence number 8 goes into the fall of 2014.
Right. It basically leads into Multiversity.
Yes. So what I think happened, though, is that they say that they sent back the group of heroes to Crisis to stop the destruction of the multi-universe. So what I believe happens at the end of Convergence is that the multiverse has been restored. The 52 worlds of the DC new 52 DC universe are a segment of the larger multiverse. So picture it as these 52 universes are 52 cities in your state. There are other states. And those 52 universes are what is played out in multiverse. So that's my reading of the end.
Okay. I would say that I disagree with that.
All right.
Partly because of what Dan DiDio has said, that this is distinctly the origin of the 52 worlds in Multiversity, and that it's all about looking forward. On the other hand, he also said that it doesn't really matter if people interpret it a different way, that's comics and, you know, it'll be what it's going to be. But I think the most interesting thing, whether or not those other worlds still exist out there or not, is that there is I think it's fair to say it's more than a rumor, because it was a direct conversation that I had with Dan over Twitter, that, you know, he said that one of the stories from Convergence, one of the minis, will be continuing after Convergence. It'll be continuing in a different place. And I'm hoping he didn't mean Earth 2 Society, because that would be kind of a bummer, because we've all known about that for months. But I suspect that it's the Superman and Lois Lane story with their new son and whatever, because they actually were removed from the Flashpoint universe and sent back with the Crisis on Infinite Earths people.
And Parallax,
yes.
Okay. I thought it was funny that I got so confused by the issue that I said, well, you know, there's the people that Parallax is with, and you said, well, there's the people Superman's with. And, you know, I reread it, and I'm like, we're talking about the same group of people. Yeah. I also, poor Jessica, who could not make it to the show, was very mad at me that I made her read Convergence number 8. So I now feel really bad that she read it and is not even going to talk about it.
I don't know. I mean, I my Convergence reading, I read everything. But my collection is, I ended up getting the Chip Kidd covers for week 3. And having those as a set. And then I went ahead and I got a copy of Convergence number 8, which the variant cover with Batman and the Metal Men, which is super cool. But which coincidentally is also bright yellow. So my permanent collection of Convergence stories, the Crisis on Infinite Earths era, they're all like bright yellow in my box.
Nice.
Mind you, I also got the Greg Rucka Question series and the Nightwing Oracle Gail Simone series too, but
yeah, Booster's the only one.
Actually, I really liked the question issues.
Yeah, I liked it so much I bought the second to last page of the art from Cully Hamner.
Nice. No, we need that character back. I've missed the question so much.
Well, we're getting a variation in one of these 8-page previews. How was that for a link? So Chris, does that clears it up for you? You know everything you need to know.
I do. Yeah. But there's a big who cares there.
There is a bit.
I've stopped caring. All my books always seem to rest on the outskirts of the DCU because they keep doing it to me, where they throw something in the middle. So I tend to collect the books that either get canceled when we have a big event or ignored and continue with their own continuity. So,
well,
I don't need to know nothing.
That's good. There's more of those books now than ever, actually.
There's a lot of those.
Yes. That's why I'm actually very excited about the I'm actually concerned about the core continuity of the DC universe, because I mean you can't just, well, if somebody's looking for a generic type comic, before I'd say, you know, get Batman or Superman, but those books are freaked up. I don't have any idea who's going on. There's no recognizable main characters. You know, there's nothing to hang your hat on anymore.
Hang your hat on Justice League.
Yeah, for core books, yeah. And it's I think Justice League's always the flagship, and it's always running a bit out of pace with the others. I mean, I assume that the current you know, it launched as a, you know, 5 years before series in New 52, it always kind of ran a step behind so that it was using the most recognizable versions of the characters.
Right.
And it's still in that place. Like, it's still, you know, Hal Jordan and Bruce Wayne are still in the Justice League book that we're getting this month.
Well, it would be really nice if somebody, you know, would sit down and map out a timeline of the entire New 52 now that it's over.
Oh, I just got hives. I did occasionally knock around the idea of updating the timeline. The biggest challenge of updating it is that once you get past the first year, references to a year ago and 5 years ago stopped being useful.
Well, and they stopped making them.
They would occasionally make them, but I mean, they stopped being, because they made a very specific, the return of Joker was a year after Detective Comics number one. But that was one of the last incredibly specific things. But once you did that, then it kind of throws any other reference to even 10 years ago. Because some books would still do 6 years ago. But does that mean 6 years ago, Justice League number one? Does that mean 6 years ago, the year before Justice League number one? It was sometimes a bit vague. So that was why I never went back into it. And they really stopped doing a lot of books that had dated references, like Demon Knights and Stormwatch that had, specific events in the distant past.
Right.
But what can you do? I mean, the good news for you, Chris, is I have this theory now. As I tried to read Secret Wars and couldn't make heads or tails of it, and then I talked to someone who had absolutely no knowledge of Marvel and totally walked into Secret Wars and felt great. I think that there is a sweet spot where knowing absolutely nothing and knowing everything are really successful. Knowing anything in the middle is kind of useless. And I think the people went through that with Convergence, I went through it when I read a couple issues of Secret Wars, that if you know just enough, you try to piece together where they are with where you remember, and it just becomes a muddle.
Right.
If you knew nothing, be way better off.
And that's why things like All New, All Different Marvel coming this September are really exciting for me, because I look at Secret Wars and I'm like, no. The only recognizable stuff to me is, if you dig in a little bit, it's wholly unrecognizable. Like Runaways. I loved Runaways, and that series looks... It's not... I mean, there's one character from the original series.
Did Marvel go insane on Runaways? Their first successful, thing they could have launched anything out of, and they've gone... Over the last, 8 years, let's say... They've done everything they possibly could to screw up that team.
Oh yeah, now they've dug a huge hole and just kicked it in. There were a few other things I tried that I just I couldn't get into. I still haven't read Old Man Logan, but I did go ahead and buy it because it's absolutely gorgeous. So if nothing else, it's totally that. And I love the original Old Man Logan. But the rest of it, I just don't have nostalgia for any of it. So it's not going to work for me. And that's why some of the Convergence stuff didn't work for me either. I have very little nostalgia. And in fact, I have probably more angry feelings about the Zero Hour Week 2 stuff. Which is, ironically, Keith's favorite.
It is my favorite.
But Week 3... made me, every single comic that week made me so incredibly happy. And then the other 2 weeks were sort of a half mix.
The Zero Hour Week was probably the one that connected with me the most, but I think I still liked more books in the fifth week, in the multiverse week. And Shazam was one of the best ones of the whole.
Yeah, and Shazam was excellent.
And I'm not at all, I've never been a Shazam fan. It just, so that was one of the ones for me that worked the best without anything else.
Right.
Disconnected from any kind of knowledge of continuity or nostalgia. I think that the week, the first week ones, the pre-Flashpoint ones, they weren't as much nostalgia. I mean, they weren't nostalgia for me for sure, but they had a continuity piece that is almost the same thing.
They were wrapping up storylines from 4 years ago.
Yeah. So it was a bit fresher than, wrapping up storylines from, Teen Titans 30 years ago. I did actually go back and reread the new Teen Titans, which after your recommendation, I quite liked it after I went back and took another look at it.
Well, what I think was different about those than the first week, the Flashpoint week, is that those were a slice out of time. So there were things that happened to all those characters after that that not with this group didn't exactly. So, and this is spoilers for our fans. So in the issue of New Teen Titans, the second issue, Jericho comes out as gay. And that clearly did not happen in the long-running series. You know, he became a villain and whatever, and he dated many women, and that was fine and whatever. But Marv Wolfman decided to take that opportunity to re-envision the character and take him in a different direction, even if it was just for two issues, although maybe more.
Mm-hmm. We are getting all new, all different Marvel, and starts in September. They're spreading it out over a couple months, right? September to December that they're spreading them out.
I know at least 2 months. I don't know, probably, because there's I think 55 to 60 new number ones.
It's a lot. They're rolling out a lot in a short period.
Yeah, they're not finishing Secret Wars until at least September. So, if it launches in September, it's probably like the last week.
So we'll see. I mean, I hope that there is some kind of entry point, like what DC has done, whether it's a whole bunch of point one anthologies or something like that, that can give you a little taste test of the crazy amount of Marvel books there'll be. I don't know. I've struggled with Marvel because it's I have tried several times to get back in, and Chris, I end up in the same place with Marvel that you are with DC, where I'm happy if I'm on the fringe books that don't really tie into anything.
I'm having a lot of trouble with the Secret Wars event too, because not only are most of the Secret Wars throwback books where we're getting to see Old Man Logan and like that, they're also mashups.
Right.
And they're changing stuff. At least when I was grabbing Convergence books, I could go, oh, it's The Question. And it might have been The Question and somebody else, but at least the book wasn't completely shared. There was a main character and a guest character, but not sharing even the title sometimes.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I have no idea, like League of Carols, what the hell, or League of Captain Marvels. I have no idea what that's going to be.
Well, that one I actually,
or where that's from.
I'm actually probably going to check that one out, the Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, because that feels a little more like a pure concept to me than some of the others. It's also already written by the same person who was writing the main book. You know, I think that Convergence had a bit of that too. But I think the books that were most successful, like The Question, for instance, the fact that they were on that world and they were fighting each other had almost nothing to do with the story, and I loved it. It was just enough to make it like sort of fit, but that was not the point of the story. And I think some of the others, like Shazam, did that pretty well as also. I'm trying to think what some of the others that were great. I think Nightwing Oracle was pretty good. Hawkman was really well done. But yeah, it's hard to have that kind of like mashup, especially if you're not like a lifelong Marvel fan.
Yeah, and it's...
No, and I mean, a lot of the worlds they're returning to ended. I mean, Old Man Logan had an end to it. I never felt the need to return there. It ended. But Whereas the DC ones, because of the New 52, there were a lot of loose ends that I was looking forward to seeing returning to that world. Not many of them were wrapped up, but that's another point.
I think I think a fair amount of them got a good goodbye moment, though. I think with Convergence, Convergence, I am already feeling the way about Convergence the way I do about Flashpoint, which is that the main series did some stuff, and I don't really have any emotional attachment, but the stuff in the tie-ins, where people could really, tell a contained story in a short amount of time, I really think of fondly.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I was the opposite with Flashpoint, except for the Batman series, obviously. Yeah, I love the main Flashpoint story, and I have reread it as 5 issues just all at once, and it reads very well. But I actually got rid of most of the minis. I just tossed them.
I don't even know you.
Sorry. I kept Superman, and I kept Batman, and I think there was one other.
All right, well, let's get into some eight-page shorts. They called them previews, but I had a lot of problems calling them previews because they are self-contained short stories teasing the new status quo. They were not organized in any way. DC don't no longer solicits as the Batman family and the Superman family. They just solicit all of the books in big clumps. And these don't have any branding. So I have selected piles to put them in for the purposes of talking about them. They are artificial and they could be debated, but it's unimportant to debate them. Because they are really just to give us a bit of framework. So let's start with Green Lantern.
Comic fans debating what comic book belongs with what? Wow.
I know.
That never happened.
I'll have some controversial ones later.
Yeah, this will be interesting because the way I sort of collect them, I sort of group them in my head in certain ways. So I'm really interested. Let's go.
I have them in 6 categories, and then a few books just went into a miscellaneous pile because I couldn't. They didn't seem to have anything in common with anything else. But anyway, let's start with some Green Lantern titles. So I've put in this pile Green Lantern, Green Lantern Lost Army, Sinestro, and the Omega Men.
Okay.
So we'll start with Rob Venditti, Billy Tan, Mark Irwin's Green Lantern, starting the storyline Renegade. I dug this issue. It was a fresh start. It's one of the ones that clearly there's a lot has happened. You don't necessarily have to know much. Like, they give you everything you need to know. It makes me curious what has come before, but like I said, you don't need to know other than, I think they give you everything in it that you kind of need for the new status quo. I kind of like the idea of a rough and tumble Hal Jordan again. Hitting the skies. Chris?
I really like the book. It does, to me, feel like it might be Hal Jordan's last chance to sustain a book successfully before we just get rid of him and continue with the multitude of other Green Lanterns we could choose from. This is his last chance. They've ridden him to a point where he's gone Renegade, and we can, if it's not popular, we could write him out really easy here, and that's what I'm cheering for because I'm not a Hal Jordan fan.
That's so hilarious.
But the actual book, go ahead, sir.
No, that's just so hilarious because that is never going to happen, Chris. I'm telling you that any character like that they made a huge point to bring back, is pretty much here to stay. Batgirl.
But they shouldn't have made it. They shouldn't have brought him back.
Well, that ship has long sailed. It's what, 10 years now?
Even I have accepted.
Yeah.
Even I.
and he consistently leads the top selling book. So, but okay, go. But finish what you're.
But he's boring. He's the definition of white bread. Let's just get rid of him. Any Green Lantern is better than Al Jordan.
And you, Matt?
I thought it was really well drawn, and I thought it was really well written. I'm not sure I'm that interested in that take. I was more interested in the John Stewart book, but I'll be following along. I'm not. It's probably just far enough down my list that I'm just not going to get to it every month. But it's really beautifully drawn, and if you love the Green Lantern mythos and you love space, it's definitely for you.
We'll go right into Green Lantern Corps Lost Army then.
So that one, and I don't remember who the creative team is, so you're going to have to
Cullen,
help out.
Cullen Bunn and Jesus Saez.
Oh, exactly. So I love... Jesus Saez's work, just love everything that he's ever done. So the art is exactly the style that I love. The characters were great. The mix of Lantern Corps members who are still around is really interesting. It's I believe it's 2/3 female, which is really interesting as well.
Three-fifths, to be precise.
3/5, okay. Although it'll end up being half because there's another Lantern joining. I think the mix is great. The idea of them being like sort of lost is great too. They're still really recognizable as Lanterns. So I think that has a little bit of a leg up over Green Lantern for me. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. This was my favorite of the Green Lantern books. I'm really looking forward to seeing them traveling through space. I love this kind of book where we're lost, we're out of contact with everybody else. This is a book that's going to be really hard to screw up with crossovers. My only criticism is did Cullen Bunn watch like way too much Star Trek Voyager before coming up with this. I can't wait to see what happens. I like, you know, our lost heroes just trying to get back to Earth. This is high flying adventure at its best. I'm looking forward to the run.
I'm intrigued. I'm not sure I'm totally in. I do like the art. I wonder what that count will be, because I having a couple of newer Green Lanterns, you got to paint a red shirt on one of them. When you've got a team, someone's got to go. That's what motivates your team. I really like the idea of them being this disconnected from the rest of the universe, though. To establish that right off, that even their rings can't tell them where they are. I'm so-so. I'm not sure I'm going to be in for it, but slightly intrigued by the reveal of Krona, though. We'll see. Sinestro. I did not like Sinestro. Cullen Bunn, Brad Walker, and Andrew Hennessy. It was not my thing. It was very Cullen Bunny. That's it for me. Chris.
I'm a little bit torn because as I am on all Cullen Bunn stuff, because he's written some of the comics I've liked the least in the last couple of years. But also, I like some of the stuff. I'm actually on the Sinestro series right now, and it's a continuation of that. And as far as the 8-page preview goes, it's a pretty good snapshot of what's going on. If I was going to find fault with it, it seems the 8-page preview seems to repeat a lot of stuff, as well as the entire Sinestro series. It seems like Sinestro is kind of a one-note character. But it's interesting enough for me to continue.
Yeah, it's probably not for me. But I wasn't that into the Sinestro series before. So it's probably not going to change. And honestly, I don't remember too much about the preview, which is probably a bad sign.
There was a lot of text. There was a lot of expository text boxes introducing. And part of it, I mean, there was a challenge, certainly, because we've got half of the line is starting at number one. That means half of the line is continuing. Some of these books were quite new. And it was only 11 issues of Sinestro out. There is a recap, like quite a lot of recap, and we'll see this in a couple of books that are continuing books, where they're really they're not trying to give you so much a fresh start as a bit of an encapsulation of what you've missed so that you can come in fresh. But, so yeah, I think that was certainly a challenge with all of the books that were continuing, particularly the half dozen that were really quite new books. It was almost better for some of the ones that were at the 40 issues to start a new storyline as opposed to the ones that were at 3 or 5 or 11. Matt, continue on with Omega Men. This is Tom King, Barnaby Baganda, and Jose Marzan Jr.
This was the big surprise for me. I was just really, really shocked about how immediately interested I was, because it sort of flew completely under the radar for me, which is actually unfortunate. Like, I should have known it would be interesting because I really love Grayson, and it's by one of the same guys who does Grayson. I was really interested in the concept, and then now having read the first issue, I'm definitely sold on the series. I just think it's the way the narration's done is really interesting. It's sort of a throwback stylistically. I think it's great.
Chris?
This was one of the ones I was most excited for because I was on the original Omega Man run. It's one of the groups of characters I think DC has paid the least attention to. I can't believe when they announced this, it was like my birthday. They announced Section 8, they announced Omega Men, Batmite, and Bizarro, and the Omega Men. I mean, how obscure of a group of characters to bring back. And it was a group of characters that I love. The original series, I believe off the top of my head, only has 32 issues. And I mean, several of the characters that even died in the original in DC continuity since, with little fanfare at all. So I was excited to see it, and then I saw the preview. And this thing has emotional gravitas. There's a huge surprise, which I've on another podcast, I believe I've already wrecked for some people. I won't wreck it any further. They even had the balls to sort of make the Mega Man a terrorist outfit. I mean, this is a brave comic book. I can't wait to see where this was going. I was just happy to see some of the characters back moving around, never mind doing something. This is going to be the go-to book. I have a feeling this is going to be a hot book in the future. I think we're going to gain a lot of Omega Man fans from what's going to go on. And I'm saying that just from 8 pages. So I'm all in on this one.
This one also really surprised me. I was quite taken by how bold it was. For them to be, an insurgent underground terrorist organization and, I mean, evoking such strong political imagery of, a hooded person being put in front of a camera to, be put on trial. It's quite risky. It's quite challenging for any big two book. It's really bold. And Matt and I were talking about at another time about the, that it went with a full nine panel page grid. We joke that it was like at the Legion of Superheroes 5 years later run, used that. And probably Watchmen is a little better known than Legion 5 years later. But I mean, it's important to remember though that a lot of issues of the original Omega Men run were drawn by Keith Giffen, who drew the Legion run that used the nine panel. So, I mean, there might be some DNA left there after all. I don't want to get too much into, because we've got some number ones and such have come out. They do carry that into the book. So hopefully that's something that they at least go through the first storyline or trade with. This was a front runner for my favorite book of all of these, actually. All right, so that's the Green Lantern family out of the way. Let's just stick with the big folks for now. Let's look at the Batman books. So in Batman, I have put into the pile Batman, Detective, Grayson, Red Hood Arsenal, and Robin, Son of Batman. I think probably Batman and Detective we can review together because they're close. So let's start with you, Matt.
Okay. I actually think that they're very different, especially the previews.
Well, but, let's not review them together then.
Okay. But so Batman, you know, that came with the Divergent special on New Comic Book Day, and then they released it online later. But, you know, of course, it's the introduction of a brand new Batman, and everyone I now knows it's Jim Gordon. Which is a nice piece, a little bit of synchronicity with, of course, the Gotham TV series. But you basically get to see his transformation from, you know, mustached, sort of doddering guy, although, yes, he's only 46, to God, this
he's even hunky, older than old Batman.
Yeah, right? To this sort of hunky Marine. I think it's super cool. I mean, it's very different than what came before, but really interesting.
It was nice of them to add diversity for having such an aged character as one of the leads. when everything else seems to be skewing young, to have someone of Jim Gordon's advanced age of 46.
Yeah.
Chris, go ahead. We're talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to review these both books together because, quite frankly, I reread all these books yesterday, and I can't remember for the life of me anything that happened in either or. I think it has to do with as soon as I saw the post Endgame Batman, I had no interest in him whatsoever. I thought the Detective book was slightly stronger than another one, but I just did not. I don't care. And I mean, even in 8 pages, you have to make me care, especially when it's Batman. I'm not even curious. I really think this new Batman looks really stupid. I can't get into this. And I mean, I've been a Batman fan forever.
I'm kind of halfway between.
Sorry, I threw you under the bus.
That's okay. No, I'm about halfway between. I'm not totally sold on Bat Bunny. I like Snyder. I wasn't a huge fan of Zero Year, so I'm not positive the Emperor has a full set of clothes. So this is Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Danny Mickey are the creative team on the Batman book. This is kind of the origin story. This is actually the one I meant that that actually takes place between pages of the first issue of the June issue. You can basically slot this into the middle of number 41, just between between the flip of the page. So I don't know. I may just wait for an arc on this one. I have been switching to arcs on Snyder stories because they tend to be quite well planned. Detective by Buccellato, Francis Manapul, artist, and Brian Buccellato is coloring. Interesting. I actually like Detective more. Because of the focus on the supporting characters, especially Renee Montoya. Welcome back, Renee Montoya, who has been working out of town. One of the characters I have quite a lot of affection for, despite having not read a single one of her stories the month it came out. I went back and read everything with her. Really liked it. So I like the idea of focusing on the GCPD in this book. So this one actually has me more excited than Batman does. Matt, you want to just cover Detective and then we'll move on to the next?
Yeah, I mean, I was really sold on this book, just based on Renee Montoya's name alone. I thought the preview was really great. The first issue, by the way, is even better. You get a lot of the background between Bullock and Montoya, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a book about Batman. It really looks like it's going to be focusing on, you know, Harvey Bullock and Renee Montoya and a few of the other characters really significantly. And I'm all about that. I think it's great.
It does have a bit of a GCPD feel.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting as we go through.
Yeah, and there are lots of secrets, which is great, between characters. That's fantastic.
Well, while we're on, while you're going there, Matt, Grayson, Tom King, plotted by Tim Seeley and Tom King, art by Mikel Janin. What's your take on this one?
Okay, so look. There's nothing that's going to make me not like Grayson. It's pretty much, you know, Hot Dick Grayson doing, you know, being James Bond. And there's very little about that I could ever imagine having a problem with. I'm looking forward to seeing more of his new partner, who... in an interview I actually did with Tom King and Tim Seeley last week, we got a little bit of a tidbit about who the Tiger King of Kandahar is, this Agent One. He's looking really interesting. I love Helena. I think they're doing a fantastic job with her. But more than anything else, Mikel Janin is just, he's a genius. And I can't say enough about how beautiful the book is. It's worth it just for that.
Chris?
I've been waiting for some trades on Grayson, and I haven't. I think the first one's out, but I haven't picked it up yet. And this 8-page preview was a nice little introduction. I enjoyed the story. I got a couple quips about the Batman in there. It is what it should be. I think this is a book I'll enjoy in future, and I love how it's not continuity restrained with having to tie into things. I'm going to enjoy it greatly. If I had one criticism, is anything in Grayson will never matter anywhere in the DC universe at all. It was a good little James Bond adventure. I'm looking forward to reading the whole thing. But this one eight page preview was something that I definitely recommend to somebody else and, you know, just hand out a copy of. good book.
Chris, I am not letting you have it both ways. You can have books that are not tied in with all of the continuity baggage of DC, or you can have books that matter to the continuity baggage of DC. You are not allowed to have both. You are not allowed to have a criticism that it is doing exactly what you want.
Well, the funny thing about that is that starting, I think it's this summer, he's going up against Lex Luthor. So I don't know that it's not going to tie in, you know? Lex is books right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can like something. At the same time, I like some more connective threads. Adding Lex in there actually sounds really interesting, to tell you the truth. I had not heard that.
We'll see.
That first arc is something I'm really looking forward to.
It'll be interesting. So, yeah, they've made a big deal about, start here in June. And, we move forward. And then to pretty quickly go into a storyline about, hey, remember Forever Evil from a year and a half ago? this Grayson 8-page is probably the best self-contained short story out of the whole bunch. That it doesn't put a lot of time into, there's no exposition in it. Really, they explain Spiral in three word balloons. We are Spiral, the exposed lies that threaten the world. We protect the secret that can save it. That's the whole pitch for Spiral. And the art is beautiful. The two-page spread of Grayson jumping out of the airplane is really beautiful. Really great layout. And I was already into this book, but it has reinvigorated me for this one. I'm a big James Bond fan, and yeah, it is absolutely, it's Dick Grayson, James Bond. I really dug it, but I'm totally into this book. On the opposite end of the spectrum is Red Hood and Arsenal by Scott Lobdell and Dennis Meadry. This thing was a mess. I'm definitely not in for it. That it was Scott Lobdell was not a great indicator that I would be. I didn't care for the art. I didn't care for the story. What was the rating below not for me with that?
I think there was pass. Pass was the rating.
Okay, pass. Definitely pass. Hard pass. Chris.
All right, I liked it slightly more than you, which isn't saying a lot. I have never completely appreciated Scott Lobdell as a writer, so I wasn't going in with any expectations of really liking this book. I will say, over Red Hood and the Outlaws, the cop buddy dynamic works a little bit better with only two of them there. And actually their little quips together, I kind of laughed. The huge failing part for me on this book was they're sending this book out to sell people on the book, and both the Red Hood and, Arsenal look like boy band members. It is really distracting. This one isn't for me, but the Teen Titans line, let's call it, has never been for me. So I'll pass on this one.
Pass. I just don't. I will agree that I think I feel better about them being a duo than the weird triad that they had going on before. But I think it's just not the book I'm ever gonna want.
All right, Matt. Last one in this pile. Robin, Son of Batman, written and penciled by Patrick Gleason, inked by Nick Gray.
I think it's cute. I was I didn't like the preview as much as I thought I would, but I think I'll end up liking the series. It's supposed to be like a big romp of fun. I'm definitely down for that. I think Damian having his own book is long overdue. I think the idea of him being like, it's sort of like a Stanley and his monster type scenario is really cute for him. So yeah, I'm trying it out. That was my official thought on that. I'm going to try it out.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised with this one. Although I've always liked Damian, I think having him in the Batman books and calling him Robin sort of gave me a step back. Putting him in his own book where, you know, it's pretty clear this is going to be like a kung fu type adventure series with demons and all sorts of weird shenanigans going on. I think divorcing him from the outright superhero stuff is going to make me love it a whole lot more. I'm in on this one, actually. I think they have some real creative possibilities. I'm looking forward to it.
I was a bit more uncertain. I do like the art. I liked Patrick Gleason's work on Batman and Robin. But what I really liked about Batman and Robin was Pete Tomasi. The dialogue's not nearly as crisp as it was with Tomasi. There may be some growing pains. But that said, I mean, I quite like Damian when written well. And it does look fun, and Damian's good in a fun book because he's such a serious character. That's quite one of the things I really like about what Tomasi did, is that he is such a serious character, and then when you put him in kind of silly situations, his reaction is enjoyable. So I'll probably try the first issue at least, and then, you know, it may be if I don't dig the first one, it may be a few issues, maybe the second arc before I get in. And Gleason's not an experienced writer, as far as I know. So there may be some growing pains in this book. And that's the Batmans. And now we've got Superman.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm living in anticipation every time you announce a group. I have no idea how you're going to get a group this, because, you know, I would have thrown We Are Robin in with the Batman.
I have a different plan.
Yes. Oh. I kind of figured.
I just hope you don't say, like, you know, I'll get to the maybe I'll do the miscellaneous pile next time so that you because there'll be something in the miscellaneous, like, I don't know why I wouldn't talk about that with Green Lantern. It'll derail the whole show. All right. The Superman pile. What we have here is Action Superman, Batman Superman, Doomed, and Superman Wonder Woman. Now, Matt, is it okay to talk about Action and Superman together?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Action Comics. Greg Pak and Aaron Kudo are credited as storytellers. Superman, we've got Gene Luan Yang writing, John Romita Jr. pencil, Klaus Janson and Scott Hanna inking. Now these are the Superman issue is again the one that was in the Free Comic Day issue. And this was our first look at the now outed Superman. Everyone knows that Clark Kent is Superman. These two stories give us our first glimpse of what life is like for Clark Kent now that everyone knows who he is. We still are missing the chapter, and as June books have started coming out, we're missing the chapter of exactly how he was outed, other than we know that Lois Lane did it. So that's a bit of a mystery that they've that's intentionally there. Very controversial issue when this Free Comic Day, long before this Free Comic Day issue actually got into anyone's hands, this was controversial. Amongst people who complain a lot. that was a joke just for Matt. It's a bold place. Truth is the name of the storyline they're starting. I preferred the action story to the Superman. I think Greg Pak has a really good handle on the character. It's also the story that kind of takes away the last pieces of Superman that Clark Kent had. So I'm intrigued for most of the books in the Superman line right now in a way I haven't been in quite a long time. I'm probably going to be getting all of them for a little bit, so I'm telegraphing some of the other ones to come. Action, my favorite one out of this bunch, but probably I'm going to be getting most of the Superman line for a bit. Chris?
Well, unlike Batman, who I was actually rooting for a little bit because I actually like Batman and I ended up not liking those books, I come in with a little chip on my shoulder because I don't like Superman. And guess what? I did not like these books. I found the whole concept of an outed, depowered Superman kind of uninteresting. Slapping a pair of jeans and giving him a motorcycle did not help that situation whatsoever. I'd fail both these books, but I wasn't interested in to begin with. So there's that.
So Superman is going to be a really hard sell for me. Not because I don't think the idea is really interesting, because I do. Not because I don't have a whole lot of faith in Jean Luen Yang, who I've been told is just an incredible writer and brings like a really new voice to DC. But mostly because I just cannot read John Romita Jr. It's a wall that I just can't get past. So for that, I have to like say not for me. It's not that the book isn't great. I just can't get past it. And it's a shame because I believe that's the book that Lois Lane is going to be in more. Whereas Action, I've been a big fan ever since Greg Pak took over. And Aaron Cooter as well on art, and now he's co-writing. I would have categorized the preview in a try it out, but now having read the first issue after the preview, I think it's a definite pull. They're really doing something nice with the character, and it's interesting to me. And I like, too, that all these books are going to be, although they all surround the same storyline, they're all being treated separately. So there is no direct crossover.
No triangle members.
Yep.
Now, I'm just sort of curious. Matt, do you know where Yang is coming from? Because I've never heard of
heard of
this writer before.
He's actually an Eisner Award winner. And he did a lot of indie books for a long time. He also is coming from Last Avatar, the Airbender. Mm. But that's not what he won the Eisner for. The Eisner was for some indie work.
It's a graphic novel, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think there's more graphic novel stuff.
And I'm also kind of curious because I'm at a similar point with Romita right now. Did he reach a high watermark with you, or was there just, or have you always felt this way about his books?
I don't like his art at all. I never have. There have been times where I found it a little bit easier to take, and I feel like that's when someone else was inking him than Klaus Janson. And I think it gets worse when Romita inks himself. But I'm not a fan of like that sort of scratchy, flat art. Like I said earlier, I love Jesus Saez's work. That's the complete opposite. Like, it's crisp, it's clean, it feels dimensional. It's just the opposite of everything I like. So,
no, I just find him, he's a really interesting artist because I really liked his work up to Kick-Ass. And I remember looking at one of the last pages of Kick-Ass going, when did he start drawing with spaghetti? And after that, I haven't been able to find a book I really liked. And I remember being a huge fan, so I'm just sort of curious. I was just sort of curious about that. But if you've never liked them, that doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, sorry.
I can't be any help, Chris. All right. I still like him.
It's me. It's not him. Like, I totally respect people who like his work. It's just not for me in a big way. Aaron Cooter, though, very much for me.
All right. Well, let's do Batman Superman again. Greg Pak, Ardian Sayaf pencil, and Vincente Cifuentes inking. This is Motorbike Superman, one of the Motorbike Superman stories we get this month, again, one of the storylines, one of the eight pagers that can fit in the middle of one of the June issues. Our first look at the first meeting of the new Batman and the depowered Superman, as well as the introduction of the new design Lex Luthor, which was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. The new design Lex Luthor looks a lot like a Marvel 2099 character to me, I have to be honest. particularly the gloves with the fingers not covered so that he can use them on a touchpad. So I wasn't much for that design. Overall, I did like the issue. It'll be interesting to see as the relationship develops between these two characters that no longer know each other. You know, Batman Superman's been an interesting book because they have a very different relationships than they did pre-New 52. And now he doesn't know who's behind the mask, and he has no powers that can make him find out. So I'll be in for this one. Chris?
I'm out, but you know, they could have released this as a one-page preview that this is going to be a fight book. we got eight pages of fight, which I occasionally enjoy, but considering I was trying to figure out what the hell, I was still trying to figure out what the hell these two characters mean to each other, I didn't have somebody to cheer for in the battle, so it really didn't matter. I like the Lex Luthor design a whole lot more than a lot of people do, but that's not worth buying a book for. I'm out.
I'm indifferent to the Lex Luthor design. I'm like, whatever. Oddly enough, I don't like this nearly as much as I like the Batman titles and the Superman titles separately. I'm just not feeling the combination. It feels very artificial, which it is. That hasn't been improved by the first issue this month. So I'm probably not going to follow it, or maybe I'll catch up and trade later.
Yeah, it is an odd pairing, because, I mean, for Superman to keep... I mean, he can't quickly fly anymore, so he has to make a point of going to a city where he's not welcome, when all the rest of his books are in Metropolis. Odd choice. Also a bit controversial, Matt, let's go into Superman Wonder Woman, written by Peter Tomasi. Paulo Sequeira, artist. And these books have been out for a bit, so don't worry about spoilers.
Yeah. It's funny that, so this book ended, and let's not worry about spoilers, with basically Superman telling Wonder Woman that he doesn't love her anymore, except I think they're in bed together in the next issue. for sure. So I'm not sure if he just said that because he wanted to protect her, or I don't know what that is, but I do not, or it was just for shock value. I do not think that relationship is over. I do think at some point it's going to start to go downhill, inevitably, which will be very, very interesting. But this book, it was a little bit of a rough adjustment when Tomasi took over, but I've been pretty okay with it, and I'm on board. It's probably not towards the top of my pile, but it's definitely going to end up being, you know, on in the pile at least.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be in my pile, although I do think this book is going to contribute to the overall story arc of Wonder Woman, because I definitely see her becoming much more of a Aquaman almost type villain for the rest of the DC universe, which I'm actually on board with. We get Wonder Woman's going to go a little bit crazy in the next couple of years. I'm digging it. But this book is going to be a throwaway, so what's the point? It's just going to be them teaming up. I don't think we'll get any real info in there. It's just going to contribute to the overall feel. So, yeah, I'm out, but that's only because I don't think it's going to matter in any way.
This is a dicey one for me. I mean, Tomasi, as you said, has been a bit up and down. I don't think he's had Wonder Woman's voice. And not even comparing it to other things, I just don't think she's had much depth in this book. I think they need to split this book a bit more evenly for it to start working for me. I liked what happened in the 8-page story because it is a bit, it does give you a different picture of Superman's adjustment to being depowered. When even the satellite doesn't recognize him, because he, something has happened, because of whatever has happened to him. I don't love you anymore. I don't know. Some of these, as I said, don't take place. They're not full prologues. They are halfway through the June issue. So
that's an interesting point.
So we'll, yeah, I mean, we don't know that those, that what you've seen so far of the June issue is after this. I don't know why you would continue the Superman Wonder Woman book if they're not together, other than there is an interesting story in people that have, that, you know, the office romance that they then have to work together after they break up. Which is an angle that they will, that, you know, I do expect eventually they will play with these characters. That said, it's on the bubble for sure. And the last one in this pile that I was questionable about whether I was going to include, I didn't know where to include this one, but I left it with Superman in the end. Doomed, Scott Lobdell writing, Javi or Yavi Fernandez as the artist. It continues to be Scott Lobdell. It is a start of a new character. I was more intrigued by the fact that Alpha Centaurian was in this book than I was the Doomed character, to be honest. that was much more interesting to me as a 90s comic guy. I definitely won't be continuing. I wouldn't put it all the way down. I would put it in the not for me category. Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah, I don't particularly love Lobdell, as I said before. And even before going in, anytime DC launches something like this, I try to pick the book that a year from now, if you mention, people will just stare at you and not remember it. This is that one. Yeah, nobody's going to remember this series. No one's going to buy this series. Even the title's generic. I'm out. I am so far out, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually put it in the category, and I got a lot of shit for this online. I actually put it in a category not for me, because I think it seemed okay. It's the only book released that features an all new character, and a character of color as well, who has, from what I can tell, a gay roommate, which is kind of nice. But yeah, it's a little fighty for me. I guess it's kind of like the Hulk. And I'm not a huge Lobdell fan, but I do give him some credit for at times in his career being able to write teenagers well. And I thought the voice was okay, but it just didn't hit any buttons for me. So I'm going to say not for me, which apparently is not harsh enough criticism for some people.
I was about to ask if you had been called out for playing it down or playing it up. I was curious.
Yeah, I was called out for not hating it enough.
Oh.
So, there you go.
How dare you? All right, we've got to speed up our pace a little bit as I'm looking at the time versus how many books we're at. I'm going to get into miscellaneous. Now, miscellaneous, you know, these are the tight continuity books. There's going to be most of these will are for continuity, and a lot of the new books are more self-contained. A lot more to appeal to the Chris's of the world. So let's throw some out here. We've got Aquaman, Cullen Bunn, Trevor McCarthy. Not for me. It's not my Aquaman. I wasn't much for the art, actually. I'll be honest. The art, I think, is probably what played it down the most. There's a lot of happening, and it's not a style I care for. It looks a little dated. Chris?
I want to say I loved it just because you said this whole category was for me and I got all excited.
This is the category that's not for you.
Oh, not for me. Okay. I did not love Aquaman at all. Art kind of hurt. And for some, I mean, Geoff Johns had such a great run to begin with Aquaman that jumping back in now feels very artificial. I did not enjoy the book. And I mean, even in 8 pages, I didn't find there was a lot of story in this one. So it didn't sell me on the book. I'm not continuing.
So I was exactly the opposite of you guys. Not that the book's for me, because it probably isn't. It's probably somewhere between I'll try it and not for me. I'll probably cast my eye towards it and see what's happening. But I love the art. I love Trevor McCarthy. I like the sort of dark feel of it, but it's just not... I just wasn't that into the writing.
All right, while you're rolling that, let's do Cyborg, David F. Walker, Ivan Reyes, and Joe Prado. Matt, Cyborg.
Sorry, hold on one second.
Chris, Cyborg.
Cyborg. On a whole, my history of Cyborg has, okay, we're just going to add this character in out of nowhere. I don't like Cyborg. I think his little catchphrase, Booyah, which they actually include in this issue, drives me up the wall. I do not like Cyborg. That said, I love David F. Walker. For the last couple of years, I mean, we've had him on the show. He's been a breath of fresh air in the comics industry for me. I love his writing. And he actually turned me around on Cyborg. I think this new take of his mechanical side, or his powers basically, him not knowing what's going on in his own body, is actually really interesting. I'm excited for this book, and I can't believe I'm saying I'm excited for a Cyborg book, but I am. The only thing I'd say about it is, DC, can we give David F. Walker a book that doesn't star a black character? I know he's a black writer, but this man can write. Let him write any character he wants. My apologies to David if that's what they did and he chose Cyborg, but I'm going to have Cyborg on my pull list. I'm excited. This is weird.
I've waited 30-odd years for a really good Cyborg book after one of my first comics being the Cyborg Origin issue all those many, many years ago. So I'm really into this book. And I do like the mystery of there being surprises in his own body. I think that's a neat take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very impressed that DC finally made a real commitment to this character. The art is gorgeous. It's Justice League level, as Ivan Reis would be, because he did Justice League. But the book is just, I'm definitely all in. I think David Walker has a great voice there. They didn't include enough of the Justice League to make it interesting, but not, you know, it's still definitely Cyborg's story. I'm definitely in.
While you're speaking of Justice League, why don't you do the Justice League, Matt?
Okay.
Jason Fabok.
Yeah. So it's the full preview to the new storyline, Darkseid War, and it's just really fascinating to see all the different threads that are going to be pulled together. So you have Darkseid versus Anti-Monitor. You have, you know, this new character, the Grail, coming through, who's sort of a Wonder Woman type character, but Darkseid's daughter, actually.
They've been teasing for some time. They've been teasing Darkseid's daughter for ages.
Yeah, so that's finally, like, in the works. She's really, like, fucking badass looking. And, you know, I think the introduction of Mr. Miracle to the story is really fantastic. I love everything about where this book is going. It's DC's number one, like, event book.
It is, event book's an interesting way to put it. It is like a running event. Without the tie-ins and crossovers. Every Justice League story, I didn't care for the first six issues in New 52, but they've all felt like an event the whole time. Like, this is the big stuff is happening in this book. I'm in for this one, Chris.
I liked it. The introduction of Grail. I just found it a little distracting, actually, when we actually got to meet Grail. She's Darkseid's daughter. Man, I want a family resemblance of some kind. evil me, I skipped ahead to the end before I saw it, before I read the whole thing. And I thought she was Wonder Woman to begin with. This is a good book, but there's way too many characters to keep track of here. I'm out, but it has nothing to do with the quality of the book.
All right, well, I'll go into Justice League United. Jeff Parker, Travel Foreman, and this was completely caught me by surprise. This book was, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's a radical departure from where they've been. Travel Foreman's art is, I'm a bit iffy on whether it really suits the book. There's some strange faces in this book. But it is, it really looks like they're putting the Justice League cartoon into a comic. Putting a rolling cast of characters, mission based, into this comic. So I'm definitely in. It doesn't hurt that the cover has, Booster Gold and Shazam and Blue Devil, as well as, you know, the wonderful Canadian characters that were introduced by Jeff Lemire. Totally in on this one. Chris?
I'm in for the series, but for an 8-page preview, could we fit more characters into a book? Quite honestly, there wasn't a panel in this that wasn't introducing somebody. And because I am behind on my Justice League United, which I hope to rectify really quickly, I was trying to figure out who some of them were. This is exciting. I share your concerns about the art, but it is good art. It's just whether the style can match it's going to be interesting. I definitely put this on a buy list.
Yeah, I was really nervous about this book when I heard it had been announced, partly because it was delayed, partly because I wasn't sure that Travel Foreman was the right artist, but I was totally wrong. I mean, that art is really, it's different, but it's really cool. And the setup, I think, is really neat. I think the characters Jeff Parker chose are just the right characters. And keeping Equinox sort of center stage was really great. Sort of choosing Alana over Adam Strange, I think, was great. Animal Man still there, Stargirl. I mean, those are the characters that I think made that book something I wanted. So yeah, I'm definitely in. I'm definitely in. The possibilities seem unlimited.
It is one of the two books that teases that Convergence has some leftover effect. And this may be the book that Dan DiDio's promise is coming true in, because the second page of this has a line, "So you've learned about the cosmic convergences that's left anomalies everywhere." So this may be where we're going to see those threads from that miniseries from Convergence continue. To give you a head count, Chris, 23 named characters in 8 pages.
Yeah, no. I, when you mentioned Blue Devil was on the cover, I missed that entirely. I was like, how? Blue Devil? I love Blue Devil. How did I miss that?
Speaking of books with an effect of convergence, the Earth 2 Society, the book that has had the most, if someone has already asked me questions, as the number one came out, and I said, well, it was stuff from Convergence that actually mattered. even though I was told that nothing, one of our other co-hosts told me that nothing in it will ever matter, Earth 2 Society, it all mattered. This is the start of the road back, I feel, for Earth 2. I really tuned out last fall as it went into World's End. I really didn't like World's End. So Daniel H. Wilson, Jorge Jimenez, working on this book, I'm in just because I want Earth 2 to work again. I really liked it during Robinson. I mostly liked it during Tom Taylor, but I felt it was kind of a drag-out fight for a while, and then really didn't like it for a while. So hoping that this is the return. Does this make any sense to you, Chris?
Yeah. No, I understand completely what you're saying. I like the book. I think it's still in the danger that Earth 2 has always been, is it's still seems separate from the rest of the DC universe, despite now it's his own city type deal going on. I would have much preferred them to incorporate the Earth 2 characters into the rest of the DC universe rather than just giving their own book that they could cancel easily and we never hear from these characters again. That said, I like the book. From the 8 pages I saw, definitely I'd give this a 5 page buy book buy. Like, I'll try an arc. But if it starts to lag anyway, it's one of the first on the cancellation list. Good. I can't wait to see how Thomas Wayne kind of actually fits into the rest of the modern DC universe.
Oh, I have some bad news for you.
Okay, so first off, their Earth 2 is set on its own planet in the Earth 2 universe, which is the new Earth 2. So it is not connected to the rest of the DC universe.
Okay, so I was a little bit more than a confused then. Okay,
and Thomas Wayne died in April, and so Batman is now Dick Grayson.
Okay. Sorry. I should pay more attention to continuity.
It's because you didn't read Convergence, you probably wouldn't know that, and that's totally fair. And in fact, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't read Earth 2 World's End. Because I kind of wish I hadn't. There was one issue in there I really liked. I think it was around like 21 or something, 22. But Yeah, for the most part, I was very, very disappointed with that series. So I was actually very pleasantly surprised by the preview. It was much, much better than I thought it would be. I was immediately sort of more hooked, and yeah, so I'm pretty excited for the book again. I'm cautiously optimistic. Let me put it that way. I'm not like Tom Taylor level excited, but or James Robinson level, but I am, you know.
Yeah, I don't even remember who was writing this one.
It's Daniel H. Wilson.
Okay, never heard of him.
His only other DC work was co-writing World's End. And then he co-wrote a couple issues of Earth 2.
Or as I call it, The Mass. World's End really didn't do it for me, and I was excited. I was excited for World's End, and then I think three issues in, it was like, I can't do this. There's 18 writers here.
Yeah, I think the 18 writers is what really was the struggle on that book.
And artists,
yeah.
I thought the art here was much better, just being, you know, one.
All right, next book, Matt, go easy on it. I know that it can be a little harsh, but Secret Six, Gail Simone, Dale Eaglesham.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't love this as much as I wanted to. I think it's just been hard because there were two issues that were spread out and then there's nothing and nothing and nothing. I was sort of already used to Ken Lashley's art, although I don't love it. And then so Dale Eaglesham coming in was just kind of a surprise, and it's the first time we're seeing Catman's new costume, and it was just a lot to sort of take in. So I feel like I'm going to be more interested probably in the next issue when it comes out. But, you know, obviously I'm buying this book. I love these characters. I think it was great, but I was not, this particular story, I was not that crazy about.
Wow. If you could have given my review, you gave it. Didn't like the 8 pages, but I mean, it's this book. I've been waiting for this book. Yeah, I can't wait for the series, but as far as trades and go, we don't need to include this 8 pages in trade paperback. It was such a nothing thing. Especially a nothing thing I was excited about, so I may be a little harsher than it may sound like I'm being a little bit harsher than I need to be, but I wanted some meat, and there wasn't any meat in this one.
It doesn't really do what it needed to do in 8 pages. You get a bit of look of the powers, but I think there's even one character that they don't even get around to naming. So I don't think, and then Talon is in like two panels. And if I was coming in fresh, I would have no idea what those two panels meant. So it definitely didn't sell me on the book, and the 8 pages didn't work for me either. Speaking of not working for me and totally not for me, Lobo, Colin Bunn, Cliff Richards, not for me, but I do enjoy a good decapitation. Nice to see that, decapitations will continue in DCU. Chris.
This has been a guilty pleasure book for me. One that I don't know. Once again, Colin Bunn, very complicated my relationship with his writing. But I've been collecting the Lobos because Lobo has been up to now what he should be. Just you can pick up an issue everywhere. He kills somebody, makes a joke and moves on. And, this run is continuing this. 8-page preview does not add anything. It does not take any away. So if you're just looking for a one-off comic to pick up once in a while, Lobo is the one for you. I can't say that's hugely high recommend, but I need a book like that occasionally. A palate cleanser between heavy continuity books.
Yeah, it really probably isn't for me. I feel, I don't know, like I'm not that connected to the character, so his current setup is just, it's not that I don't, like, I like the old one and didn't like the other. I'm just probably not that into it.
Well, now we have a challenge, because as I look, we're only about halfway through these books. and we haven't gotten to some of the meaty parts. Do we want to maybe wrap up a couple more and then reconvene?
Yeah, that'd be fine with me.
Depending on when we do it, yes.
Well, we can certainly negotiate that part. As it turns out, they're all already out. So let's do the two more I have in the miscellaneous pile, and then we'll call it a night. We'll call it an episode if you're listening to this during the day. Teen Titans, Will Pfeiffer, Kenneth Rocafort. I kind of wish Kenneth Rocafort would work on a book that I really wanted to read. It ain't this one. The Durlin seems to be just a total stand-in for Miss Martian, who they're choosing not to use at this point. Other than that, it's almost the Young Justice team. So definitely not for me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go. Definitely readable. I wouldn't look down on you for liking this book, but it's a who cares book.
Yeah, I'm about the same. No strong feelings against it, but it's not really grabbing me. And I'm not crazy about there being two teams.
All right, well, last one we'll do for this episode. Martian Manhunter, Rob Williams and Eddie Barrows and Eber Ferreria? Sure. This is another first time Martian Manhunter has had a monthly series. He's had many series before. He has never had a monthly series in all the years he's been around. This is, again, one of the better self-contained 8-page stories out of the bunch. This one could have been a backup in another book quite easily. A bit of an intro to the character, but just a fully contained adventure for him. So I think it creates some interest. I wouldn't say it's for sure for me. But I don't think, and when I, partly that is because I don't think we've gotten a really good look at this character in the New 52. I don't think he's been developed enough. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they want to go with this character. Chris?
I don't know. I was thinking about this, and I could not remember any time a Martian Manhunter has really had a regular series. Is he interesting enough, or is he just one of those characters that you want in the background to step up and save the day? I think it's the latter for me. I can't see myself collecting a Martian Manhunter book, but I enjoyed the 8 pages. But I don't think I would be in for a full series. Weird one.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested. I mean, I haven't loved his books in the past, but this one, it seems to have a really interesting premise, and the art is great, and I think it'll be good.
All right, well, that's just over half of them through. Now you know why these, when we did the full month of New 52s, why it was, they were such epic journeys. Even 8 pages, it's a lot to go through. So we'll break this one. We'll decide whether we're giving them A and B numbering when we get around to the second half. And thanks to our sponsor, Comicosity. Thanks to our sponsor, Geek Nation Tours. And you can follow us on Facebook, We Talk Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, at We Talk Podcasts. We are on iTunes, WeTalkPodcast.com, Stitcher, and Comicosity.com to listen to the show. Whichever one you found it on, you will continue to find it there. And you can subscribe, you can review us on iTunes. A review would be fantastic. I don't know if we have one.
Yeah, I gave us an excellent review. So
I'm glad you were easy on us. you are a big fan. Frequent listener. Good. All right, we'll be back with another episode of looking at 8 pagers, hopefully before all of the June issues are out. I am Keith. Have a great night. Have a great what if it is day, if it is night. Continue having a good one of those. Chris, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Matt, you want to plug some stuff?
Sure. Yeah, Comicosity is just rolling with a ton of interviews for these DC new books. We have interview recently on Midnighter and Starfire and Batgirl and Black Canary and a couple more coming. Just, you know, check the site frequently. We like to keep them up on the front page, but we're constantly covering stuff. And just so Brett knows, when all new, all different Marvel begins, we'll be doing the same for them. So we are an equal opportunity website.
You are in the pocket of Big Marvel. I do really hope that Marvel does something similar to this. I don't expect them to fully copy it, but it'd be nice if they had something that made the books as accessible to try out as this has been with DC. And with that, we are OUT.